Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome along SEN Breakfast with Tim anyway, not with Gary. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the big line. He's off today. We'll get to that in a moment. The McCafe menu, our official coffee partner. Nothing changes there. Big source, Sam Jacobs is going to join us, the former Adelaide ruckman for a generation. He palmed the ball down to the now retired Rory Sloane. We'll get Sam's take on all things Rory later on. Gary Moorcroft knows a thing or two about high marks. He was the 2001 Mark of the Year winner. Well-versed to discuss Jamie Elliott's latest skyscraper and perhaps the changing landscape when it comes to the prizes that the AFL gives away for its biggest and best mark of the year. Questions that notice as well. As I look across the table, not next to him today, the great Tim Watson. Hello, Wisp.
Good morning, Fieldy. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here this morning. There is so much we need to talk about today. And, of course, my old mate, I've got to come clean very early in the program about this.
I'm glad you've chosen to address the elephant in the room, because I felt the need to just sit back and let you take your time with this.
Okay. We went to... And this is really painful even to talk about, but we went to couples therapy, and we've been having some problems, Gary and I, and it was decided that what we would need to do is we just need to separate from each other for a little period of time and see whether or not the absence would rekindle our fondness and our love for each other. So I don't want you to think that you're just standing in as part of an experiment, but you sort of are this morning. So you're being used, as the catalyst, hopefully, to bring Gary and I back together.
Or the bait.
Well, sort of the bait, yes. Don't feel badly about that, because I couldn't have thought of anyone better to choose other than you.
Well, I hope we go all right, Wisp. Because Gary's fled the CBD, or he's about to.
Has he gone away, has he?
Well, he's going to... do we need to address this properly? Like, he's going to...
He's gone. He's going to Corporate Mestate.
Your magnificent corporate partner.
I can't go.
You can't go, or you don't necessarily feel comfortable in going?
Well, A, I didn't get an invite, and B, it's well known that I won't fly in a small aircraft.
I'm reluctant to say you didn't get an invite. When I look at the passenger list, I see the Volcano's on board, Hutchie's on board, members of the sales team, great sales team here at SEN, are on board, Kingy is on board, and Damien Barrett on board.
Okay, so the plane, how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I think I'm told reliably it's a 12-seater.
So there's six on one side, six on the other side. So just to, because you need to balance the plane as best you possibly can. I'll fire the question to you. So you've got Gary Kane, Hutchie. Kingy and Hutchie can't be on the same side of the plane, can they? They would have to be on opposite sides. Would I be right in saying that?
Kingy looks after himself. Hutchie's lost a bit of weight, I reckon. No, I'm not sure. Do you reckon Gary would still look to turn left as he walked in?
Gary will be sitting next to the pilot if he's not flying the plane. I'm not sure where the Volcano would be.
Well, he'd have to...
He'd be up the back somewhere.
Yeah.
Damo, it's an interesting...
That's me.
It's an interesting combo, isn't it? Heading up there to Cobram Estate today.
So, yeah, big three-course feed up there, meet and greet. Well, could you have not just driven up, Wisp? How far is it?
No, it's a two...
A few hours.
It's a two... I think it's a three-hour. I think it might be a three-hour drive up to Cobram. I would have loved to... Well, I didn't get invited in the end, so I can't go. But I'm hoping that Gary... I've asked him to take a very big satchel, so he can hopefully bring back some Cobram Estate.
There'd be a weight limit on
the premium stuff, which I've never seen before. He always takes the premium stuff himself.
So just to cover it off properly, you don't like the small aircraft, the old twin props. Can't go on.
I just don't like the sensation of flying in a small aircraft. I won't fly in a helicopter, and I won't fly in a small plane, and particularly if they've only got one engine too. I think the small aircraft...
I don't know what they're flying in, but
they'd only be flying in a small aircraft.
Twin.
Let's not talk about that anyway, because we don't want to moz them in.
They can run on one, or they can glide for a period of time, I think. SEN Breakfast, book or live for the best rates, melbourneairport.com.au, and Sonos, which has that magnificent game-changing sound. Just a couple of texts. Now, Nathan does a great job in the newsroom, and this happens to the best of us. Yep. Happened to me, it's happened to you.
Oh, it's happened to me many times.
We get
times.
Our names mixed up a little bit. And there's many... are there many famous Rorys around?
Well, there's a couple out there. But so, unfortunately, our old mate went with the wrong one this morning.
So the Rory Laird hasn't retired. We just need to calm the farm there. Rory Sloane has. And just got us thinking about famous Rorys. Who else he potentially could have retired there? He could have retired Rory McIlroy, couldn't he?
Yeah, we could have. Yeah, he could have. Yeah, Rory Gallagher.
Now who's Rory Gallagher?
Guitarist. One of the great guitarists of all time, Rory Gallagher.
Probably a blasphemous question, wasn't it?
Almost. Yes, and I have seen that. This is so funny, this, because Gary and I, during COVID, and it feels like 100 years ago, and something happened. We said something about rugby league, and then Paul Kent on one of his programs, or he wrote it somewhere about what we'd said. So we nicknamed him Punchy Paul Kent.
You had a back and forth back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. And we got him on the program, and yeah, it was funny, although he backed down, I thought, way too quickly and easily when we were actually confronting him about something. But anyway, we nicknamed him Punchy Paul Kent. Little did we know at the time that he would be a major scuffler around the New South Wales establishments. Have you seen the vision and footage of him?
I have.
I don't...
He gets flung up. He's upside down into a tree, and then
It's hard not to be amused by it, isn't it?
As long as he's okay.
He's okay. No, he's okay. He's not injured.
He's been stood down by Fox Sports.
Yeah, he is. And the other guy who
he's been charged.
He's been charged with a fray, so he's gonna be all right. But I didn't realise at the time that he was a Punchy Paul Kent. I just thought at the time he was a verbal Punchy Paul Kent.
That is life.
Not a physical one.
Life imitating art, if ever we've seen it. You've termed him Punchy Paul Kent. That goes back years as well. And then he gets all punchy outside a restaurant in Sydney and, gee whiz, not a great look.
I do hope he's okay. I do hope he's okay. I don't want him to come to any mischief.
Admittedly, though, he didn't get any actual punches in.
No, he didn't. He doesn't look like he is the punchy. He looks like he could do with a couple of lessons.
He appeared to be the instigator as well. Second best.
How unlucky are you when that's actually caught on film somewhere at the same time?
So everyone's got a phone.
It's a terrible thing.
Which I'm somewhat surprised, given everyone's got a phone and everyone was a bit punchy over the weekend, that we didn't get the exclusive vision from inside the MCC dining room.
Well, somebody... Wouldn't they have... surely they've got CCTV vision in there somewhere. I'm not sure that they'd want to release that, but I'm sure they would have that in there somewhere. And the other bit of vision that you and I both found amusing, even though this is to somebody's detriment, and that is that Braden Pruce, who's one of my favourite players in the competition, running out for the VFL team for the Giants, I think it might have been Friday. I know I saw the vision. So it must have been Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, did his hamstring. And in the most innocuous way, so you run through the gate out onto the ground. You do that sort of first little jump in the air.
Yeah.
And ping, and away she goes. So he's done the hammy. Now he's back in rehab.
There's vision of this getting around. You can't believe it. And again, it's a little hard not to have a smirk on your face. But yeah, you know that little leap, the little couple of trots out off the left
leg. That's all it is.
And mimicking a mark, if you like. He's done that and ripped it. And you just see him doing a 180 and walking straight back into the room.
I laughed when I read the LVO on the news on Friday. And I admonished myself straight away for doing that, because it's not funny, but it did look funny.
I think he was pretty close to a return too.
Yeah, I think he was. I think it was. They love the big physical way that he plays. We just haven't seen him often enough out there.
And then in this new age of supposedly clubs being more transparent with injury, though, I went back and had a look at GWS's Twitter feed, and it said Braden Pruce has been a late withdrawal due to hamstring tightness.
Well, I thought just hamstring awareness.
Yeah,
he was very aware.
He's grabbed at it like he's been shot.
A 12-seater isn't really a small plane. Yes, it is. Anything less than about 75 seats is a small plane, as far as I'm concerned.
Rory Bremner, one of the great impersonators, we're being told here as well. And it's like the president and the vice president both can't fly on the same flight. That's from Beadle. That explains you and the loin chop being separated today.
I hadn't thought of that, but that is something worth taking on board. Rory Calhoun. Surge. Rory Calhoun.
Rory Calhoun.
Just remind me who that is.
Rory Calhoun was an American film and television actor.
Ah.
Westerns in the 50s.
Of course he was.
And the 60s.
My brother-in-law Sam would have known that. He loves, actually Johnny from Epping would have known that too. He's hot under the collar, Johnny. Like, I never get a call from him on a Monday talking about Thursday. I got a call from him yesterday wanting to just run a couple of things by me. So he's preparing for his Thursday segment already.
By Thursday.
He was a bit pissed anyway.
By Thursday, he might be a bit punchy himself because it started again.
He's white hot.
Is it this time every year where it starts? We might get into this a bit later, the whole North Melbourne and should they exist?
No, well, Eddie's gone very early with a veiled North Melbourne. Well, anyway.
We'll North play it
Melbourne,
after 7.
North Melbourne need to be... I'm paraphrasing what he said, but this is what he would like to say, and this is what he meant by it all. But North Melbourne should be the team maybe that goes to Tasmania. That's the bottom line, I think, from what he has to say.
It happens every year. But it's happened earlier.
I don't think it happens every year, that conversation.
Of course it does. They should have moved. They should move. Why are they here? It happens every year. Every year in the last handful of years, by virtue of the fact they haven't won more than 3 or 4 games a season for a while. Yeah, I feel like this is on the news story spin cycle in our game. Come on, what happened in the MCC dining room, says 503. Well,
don't say anything because someone else has already said this is all part of the problem in society that we're joking about men being violent.
And it is the subject of a police investigation as well. But what actually happened was a teenager, a young fan, wasn't standing, is the allegation, during the anthem, during the Anzac service.
Yep,
and
let's
was told
deal with
by
that.
Another patron to show some respect and stand up.
Yep.
And the boy's father took umbrage with that and allegedly told the disgruntled fan to, quote-unquote, pipe down. That has escalated to the point where, unbelievably, it's become physical inside the MCC dining room, which if you've ever been in there, it's a high-end restaurant.
It's a mix.
At the football.
Yeah, it's an experience. I've only walked past it, so I've never actually been in there. I'm not a member there at the MCC, so I've walked past it a couple of times. There's a lot of people coming and going, and people of various ages and sizes and sex and all that type of thing. But it has the potential, doesn't it, to escalate these situations too. And the point being, should you stand for the national anthem? And I am very much in the affirmative camp. Yeah, of course you should.
My first thought was, why isn't he standing?
Yeah.
If you're capable of standing,
yes,
of course.
You should
be standing.
Of course you should be. And I'm not saying that, you know, like a little, just a, not a, not a, not a violent clip under the ear, but, you know, if Dad, rather than having an altercation, a verbal altercation with somebody else, he should have just given the boy just a little bit of a tickle behind the ear.
Yeah, come
and
on,
up you get.
Get up.
Up you get.
Stand up.
Show some respect.
Yes.
And if you've got a hat or a cap on, you take that off as well. That's also a sign of respect.
The other players, according to this texter at GWS, thought that Prusy was going to the toilet. They'd just done a quick 180 to go to the toilet. Lo and behold, he's going to miss several weeks with a hamstring injury. The Ramble is for Cobram Estate, of course. Gary is there today. Tim sadly is not. It is Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. So just before we get to the break, have you put an order in for Gary?
No, I didn't need to. We got this just thing.
Assuming.
We've got this connection that Gary and I on the same page when we do stuff like this. We always make sure that we look after our buddy. And also, Brooke is part of the trio as well. He always gets a nice little, not the same quantity, not necessarily the same quality, but he always gets a little package as well.
He's nodding not because he likes what you're saying, but because he knows that's spot on with what you're saying. Just a smaller quantity.
That's right.
He's one of the best producers in the business.
He's all of that. He'll get a drip of the Cobram Estate olive oil.
Hey, I want to ask you this after the break, because I thought of you when Jamie Elliott actually took that big skyscraper at the MCG, because...
No, I've never flown like that.
No, you haven't, but you've been big on what players like he should get for winning.
Oh, 100%.
For a long time. And I can tell you it's about to change, which might be music to your ears, Whispers.
Well, I just need to know what type of a car it's going to be.
We'll discuss
that's it. The most important part, because the mark of the year is worthy of fill in the blank. What type of car?
All right, done. Well, they've got a big sponsor.
A Hilux, a... brand spanking new Toyota Hilux with big boys.
It's his choice whether he stands for the anthem or not, says his texter. That other bloke
should
have mind his own business. There's a snap judgment right off the top.
That's a snap judgment of today's society, that it's his own business. No, it's not. It is your responsibility and your duty to stand for the national anthem.
You've got to be standing for the anthem. That's the 40 Wings temper text I refer to. 0433 98 11 16. Now, the Mimosa Homes open line, of course. Visit Mimosa Homes today. 1-300-736-736. We're powered by Kubota here. You can take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments.
And happy 60th, Rick, out there too.
On you, Rick.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
That's Rory. Rory Gallagher.
That's your man Gags.
Yep, that's a man.
Jeez, he goes all right.
I tell you what, if Boy Gooding was listening this morning, he would be absolutely...
headbanging?
Dragging the air guitar out and pumping away to that.
Hey, Wisp, Cobram Estate is releasing a very special edition of Extra Virgin Olive Oil worth $60 per 500 mil. Is Gary bringing you a bottle of that?
I hope so.
And Jim, you blokes are talking about two things most people in society can't afford, the MCC members and olive oil. Sorry, Jimmy.
Well, just talking about something that happened at the MCC members. Jim, I can't afford it either, but I love a good olive oil. I do. Liberally use the olive oil over everything that we have, everything that we eat.
You've got a lot of company when it comes to you just have to stand in the anthem. In fact, some people are saying the parent deserves a clip, the kid deserves a clip, or 6 months national service is Glenn Dan and Morty Alligator.
I wouldn't go that
send
far.
Him off.
I wouldn't go that far.
Jeez. What a great...
Did you used to sing the anthem on a Monday morning at assembly?
You know what
at primary school?
We did. Yeah. And into high school, we didn't. I was thinking about the anthem watching across the weekend of football. Yeah. And we did it in our junior football, my young fellas, junior football, they did the last post and stood for the anthem and all the rest of it. The kids sing the anthem, but then I watch the AFL players. No one sings the anthem anymore. I could count
some
on
do.
One hand no, across
a couple,
the weekend.
A couple mouth the words, but well, not everybody does.
Are we too self-conscious to belt it out?
Maybe. I don't know. You have to ask the players why they don't, but I think I've seen a couple do. What do you think about the fact that the whole round of football is Anzac round as opposed to the day itself?
Yeah, and I heard Jared Waitley having this debate with a few listeners yesterday, and there was a suggestion that the last post is overdone and shouldn't be done outside of Anzac Day specifically, but... Aren't we about, don't we come together for Anzac Day now? And what I'm told from older generations, more unifyingly than we ever have. And is that not because we are all embracing of it across a weekend and our awareness of what it means to the younger generation and as well as the older generation for reasons such as this?
Yeah, no, probably.
Junior footy games across Melbourne had the last post played all throughout the weekend.
Did they really?
Well, they did in our league, yeah, in the west of Melbourne. We had under 10 standing for the anthem.
Oh, wow.
Under 12s. The last post was being played on the speakers. I mean, I don't remember as a kid Anzac Day being quite as big as what it is now. But
I remember growing up in a country town, Dimboola, that it was a celebration and we had, if it fell on a school day, then you know we observed a minute of silence and all that sort of stuff and had the last post played and that type of thing. So it was sort of like a thing, but not as big as it is today.
Yeah,
It wasn't observed like it is today.
Speaking of big, it was a big round of footy, Whispers. 408,433 people went through the turnstiles, the second highest attendance ever. And I think we only had, that's with a game with that only got 4,000 or whatever down in Tassie.
Five and a half. I looked at the numbers yesterday.
Five and a half. And they've got 408,000 and change attending across the weekend. A third time only above 400,000, I think, that a round of footy has produced that.
Which led us to having a discussion before we came on air this morning about what is the perfect time, day and time schedule for a game of AFL football today. And I'm throwing that out to everybody listening this morning. What is your preferred time of the day and the day?
We'll see if we can find a sweet spot here where we can find common
ground. I reckon we've found one.
Because we think And the people have voted with their feet on this, that the new blockbuster time slot's the Saturday 4:30. The twilight on a Saturday, not a Sunday, which has long been the graveyard. Mm. The Saturday 4:30.
Well, there is a reason why football was always played on a Saturday, because it was considered to be the best day for attendance for people to go.
But is the humble 2:10, is the humble 2:10 Saturday still as
well
popular?
I don't know. Let's ask. I think it's probably... I would think it's probably the preferred starting time, 2:10 or 2:30 or whatever it might be, as opposed to the later one, the 4:30, because the 4:30 start for a lot of people would mean that that would sort of bleed into maybe going out on a Saturday night or whatever it might be. So I think people would probably, maybe if you split the difference and you said, okay, a 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon start might be the ideal time for most people.
Great. People can get their stuff done in the morning and their sport and all their chores and whatever they need to do, and it's not too late for families either. So it just seems to fit right in that nice little spot.
Excellent start.
How great is it? How great is it that Carlton are doing what they're doing, and this momentum that they're building, the 100,000 members that they've got, and the passion that they bring to the game in the way that they support their team and the game.
Yeah, well, they've been involved in the last three of these time slots, so that might be something. The Toyota Call of the Year is back. There's Hilux stock available now. Just contact your local Toyota dealer today. Get your unique bed match profile, find the right bed for you at 40 Winks. They're serious about sleep. News upcoming. Wisp and I will grab ourselves and a cafe coffee.